Well, students in remote Indigenous communities with a passion for science can face major barriers to chasing their dreams. And according to this year's Closing the Gap report, that could exclude them from the jobs of the future that require an education in science, technology, engineering and maths. Well, one young Kamilaroi man has taken it upon himself to help students stick with science, sending books and equipment across the country as part of a project called Deadly Science. Corey Tutt is the founder of Deadly Science. He's with me in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish. I must say, I love your jumper.
Oh, I'm wearing the AIM hoodie. I think they gave that to us when it was NAIDOC week last year. Deadly Science was your idea. You got it up and running pretty much on your own. What is it?
So Deadly Science is about empowering and inspiring young Indigenous kids out there to sort of, and my buzzword this week is believe, because a lot of kids that go through school, they sort of get told they can't do things. So myself, I wanted to be a zookeeper, and I was often told that, you know, you need a degree in zoology to do zookeeping, you know, which I later found out through AIM actually, that it is possible to be a zookeeper in science. So it's more about inspiring and empowering kids, and, you know, kids are the best scientists.
You are 26 years old. I understand you've always loved science. What originally sort of piqued your interest in it?
So I moved around a lot as a kid, just due to my upbringing, and, you know, I sort of had a bit of a tough sort of start in life, and I had this passion for animals. And, you know, if you've ever thought about, like, a blue tongue lizard, for example, why does it have a blue tongue? You know, well, the answer is that blue means poisonous in the animal kingdom. So that's like an animal superpower. So I always was fascinated to learn more about animals. And then my sort of like interest in science sort of grew when I looked at the stars. I'm like, what does that star mean? So I always sort of wanted to know more. And I think like most kids are like that. You know, when you're a kid, you probably ask those sciencey questions, you know, and that's what I want to sort of grow.
What were you told when you were younger about the possibility of going into this sort of field? What was the feedback that you got from teachers?
So, I mean, this is by no fault of like the teachers. I think it was just a sign of the times. You know, this was about 10 years ago. I was told that, you know, just kind of stick to a trade. You know, the best hope for me would be sort of like plumbing or being a sparky if I was very lucky. But I just wanted to be a zookeeper. I wanted to work with animals. I wanted to learn more about animals. And that was, you know, it was hard because there wasn't many options, especially for Indigenous kids to be zookeepers back then, especially from the Illawarra.
When you say that you'd had a bit of a rough experience as a kid, can you share any of that with us?
Well, yes. Basically, so we moved around a lot when I was a kid. So my father wasn't around, and it was just me and my mum and sister. So we moved around a hell of a lot, and it's hard to make friends when you move around a lot. So I guess my sister and I became really close, and I found comfort in learning about animals and having pet lizards and snakes and, you know, turtles and all that. So it was quite tough. Schooling was quite tough because, you know, you were never in the same place for long enough to sort of find yourself.
And you mentioned that you're part of the AIM mentoring program. That's a story that, you know, many people will be familiar with. Did it make much of a difference to you having a mentor to actually sort of find yourself on the pathway that you are now on?
Yeah, it had a huge difference. And I mean, I lacked a lot of self-confidence as a teenager. And especially, you know, you're constantly being told you can't do stuff and you're not capable or... So AIM was really good for me because it introduced me to people like Paul Sinclair, who at the time was working at Taronga Zoo, and he was really big for me because he's an Indigenous guy that was a zookeeper. So he actually gave me a lot of belief that I could do it. And my mentor at the time, I'm still friends with today, 10 years later, and his name's Benny Gallen. And, you know, we've been on this sort of journey watching each other's lives sort of from afar. Now he's married with kids and stuff, and it was really powerful for me, that journey as well.
How did Deadly Science get started then? How did you sort of go from that to this point?
So when I started the University of Sydney, I wanted to sort of give back to the AIM program and start talking to kids and telling them my story. And so I would go up every Friday afternoon and chat to the kids about science and zookeeping, and, you know, and I'd do this thing where I'd, you know, I talk about these animal superpowers, you know, so like if you think of like a black-headed python, why does it have a black head? Well, where they live, it's too hot. So they need to be able to heat themselves up quickly and hunt at night. So, you know, you would talk to these kids about these like amazing science facts. And a lot of the time, like, oh, no way. Like, they would be so enthralled by it. And I'm like, I've got to do more. So I Googled most remote school in Australia. And I had a heap of books, and I was like, oh, I might see if they've, you know, how their science program is. And so I sent them heaps of books, and like all my personal books as well. And then they had a school that was nearby, and they were like, oh, do you mind sending them some books? Because, you know, we don't have many science books. And a lot of the books they had were sort of out of date, and they weren't really applicable to today.
And in terms of the impact that this has had on the students in these remote schools, well, what feedback do you get?
So I get a lot of photos, and with permission, I post them on social media and stuff so people can see the impact we have. But the impact is that we're having astronomy nights in these communities now. Just in Meniere, which is in the NT, last week we had an astronomy night where kids got to look for a telescope and look at the moon for the first time. And a lot of these areas that I'm sending books to, these kids haven't even seen the ocean. So, you know, on July the 30th, we're actually going to Taronga Zoo, and a lot of these kids are going to see a tiger for the first time. Like, can you imagine, you know, in your mind seeing it, like an animal like that for the first time at 9 years old or 10 years old? That would be quite amazing.
So you're obviously getting a lot of satisfaction from the way this program is expanding. You've got, I think, some support from Dr. Carl. He's mentoring you now. Is that right?
Yeah, Dr. Carl's been great. And Brian Cox as well, Professor Brian Cox, he's been good. We recently caught up when he was on his tour in Sydney, and it's a bit of a surreal moment.
I don't want to get too heavy on the policy side of this, but clearly closing the gap is something that we talk about a lot here on RN Breakfast. And, you know, the figures are not good, particularly in relation to Indigenous kids getting into STEM subjects. Do you see things like this making a tangible difference long term?
I do, but I just want to make one note. Indigenous kids are incredibly talented. They like the science questions we get. So I get questions every week that I answer from the kids. And, you know, one of the questions was Adam from Pulalulu School in the Kimberley. And it was, you know, why does meat taste better when it's a full moon? No scientist that I asked could answer that question. But the answer is really, you know, the full moon sort of like affects water levels. So if there's any subtle, you know, 70% of your body is made up of water. So if there's any subtle differences in the meat, that would be able to pick it up. Because
Do you think science is in a way a natural fit for kids in remote communities?
Oh, most definitely. And there's a book called Dark Emu, which I think all listeners should read. And it's about, you know, ancient Aboriginal science. And there's so much we can learn. And it's our history as well. It's not just Indigenous history. It's Australia's history. And I think, you know, we do need to close the gap, and there is a gap, and I acknowledge that, but we also need to acknowledge that the knowledge that we can gain from these communities is invaluable because it can help us manage the land.
Corey Tutt, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Corey Tutt is the founder of Deadly Science, and it is, of course, NAIDOC Week.